Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome to the show. It's the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thank you all for being here on another fun-filled episode as we have a great guest in store. But first, we would like to pass on this information, as in how do you get involved with the show a little bit. You can use Facebook. You can use YouTube chat in. I'll be watching in as well. You can send me an email if you'd like directly. That's fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the best way to get a hold of me. Feel free to email me anytime, not just during the show. But after is always great. I've gotten some amazing responses and stories about the show. People kind of sharing a little bit of their story with me. I always appreciate getting that connection, kind of going beyond the microphone time that we have together. I'm here for you. Love to hear from you, the listener, people from our community. It always is a lot of fun. Then, of course, our sponsors. We have Perkin Elmer, Optum, and Fulcrum, all being a part of the show sponsorship, especially Optum, though, also helps out with the Walk and Roll event that's coming up in September. And we have more news and events and things we will talk about at the end of the show. But in the beginning here, it's really all about the guest. And we have an amazing guest. She's been on the show before. She has even done some of our fundraising events when we do like the telethon and those kind of things. So we welcome her in now. It is our guest today is Lexi Pappas. Hey, Lexi, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Catching up. I think there's some new things I know in your life we'll get to talk about a little bit. First, though, those that might not know who you are, would you mind kind of sharing a little bit about yourself, maybe your FSHD diagnosis story a little bit?
Yeah. My name is Lexi. I'm currently 28 years old. I have FSHD. It runs in my family. So my mom has it, her brother, their dad, it goes on. I was diagnosed at about 12, 13 years old. And in the beginning, I kind of wanted to hide it. But as I got older, I started sharing more about it and spreading awareness and getting more involved. And lately, I've been pretty involved in trying to help fundraise. And so, yeah, it's been pretty amazing to see how much progress we've made and how much money we've raised over the years of all the things that we've done. So that's pretty much my short story. I feel like I've told it so many times now.
Yeah, right. I know. You're kind of you got kind of some notoriety, some attention, some good positive attention based on some of the video work that you've done, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I made my first thing I ever did really to spread awareness was I made a documentary about my FSHD and my family, the way FSHD affects all of us. We kind of shared how we grew up with it and how it affected us, as we grew up. And I posted it on YouTube and shared it with a lot of people with FSHD, and everyone started sharing it. And then it got, I think now it has like over 50,000 views on YouTube. And it just got, it changed a lot for me and made me feel like I could really open up about it because people were really accepting and the comments were really amazing, honestly, from complete strangers, a lot of them online that don't even have FSHD. They saw the video and they loved it and, learned something new. So it was just cool to spread awareness and help people learn about a disability they may never have heard about.
Yeah, that's something that is also great because you have this talent of doing things of that nature and that's your art. And then you kind of use that to spread awareness. Is that something that you're still currently doing? Video editing, documentaries?
Yeah. So video. Yeah. I grew up making videos and filming them. And now for my professional career, I am a video editor and producer at a large tech company. So it's something I do professionally and as a hobby. I've made, I also do some like YouTube videos about disabilities, but I haven't in a while. I'm trying to get back on that. And I've made some other like documentaries and videos that aren't necessarily disability or FSHD related. But yeah, I mean, it's something I love doing. I help some other nonprofits edit videos. And Yeah, it's I love doing it. It's just fun, and I get to like it. It comes all. It's just fun to see it all come together from start to finish. You know, yeah. A video like that.
How long does it take to, let's say, make like a, well, you talk about doing things for nonprofit. If you had to make any type of, you know, video for them that they use, what, for like marketing or something?
Well, a lot of what I've been doing recently, a lot of is, so like one company, they do these, or actually a few of them, they kind of do like webcasts or like meetups with like lots of people with the same disability or with similar disabilities. So it's like, it's a Zoom recording because of, I guess it started during COVID, but it's probably going to continue. So I do a lot of like edits of Zoom meetings and like adding some graphics there. I do like an edit of a podcast that this one nonprofit has. It's a video podcast, so I edit. It's really cool. They actually have a lot of cool graphics in that. And then I do like, I've done like short kind of mini documentary videos for some nonprofit.
Nice.
So a wide range.
Sounds like FSHD Society needs to talk to you a little more so we can add maybe a little more fun elements to this. Yeah, I think people might.
Yeah, I mean, I did one video with them that was really cool. And I've done some other small edits with them. So, yeah, I mean, I always love editing.
Always open. Yeah, I like that. Now, going, you know, forward through your life, obviously, you know, you've been on this show a couple of different times. And as we mentioned in the past, and now being 28 years old, as you've, you know, gone through, and you're making, I think, a huge impact on our community in that regard. You've gotten active very young. Tell us a little bit about the chapter work that you're with, and then we'll kind of drift in a little bit of the Gen Z group that's been formed.
Yeah, so I'm the walk leader for the New England chapter of FSHD Society with Kristen, who's our chapter leader. She's great. And we did our second official walk this past September. The first one we did was all virtual, like, you know, most people around the country. And then this year we did an in-person one, not necessarily a walk, it was more of a celebration. And we raised like $67,000. I actually just looked today randomly at it. So it's pretty cool to see how much we were able to raise and get everyone together. Yeah, I mostly just do like the walk stuff. I helped Kristen with some other things in the chapter as well, but mostly just the walk. And yeah, then that kind of made it possible for me to do other things like Gen Z and FSHD too.
Yeah, how did that start? We've had other guests talk about like Heloise Hoffman, but I'd love to hear your side of it, of the creation, and when did it start? When did you feel like there is a strong need to start a group?
Yeah, I mean, I like when I was first diagnosed, I didn't really know many other young people with it, or I mean, that was kind of my own doing. Like, I guess I didn't really try to find other people. Although I think it's changed a lot, you know, in the past, even like, you know, 5 years, I've seen a lot younger people like come out and like talk about their story and share their, you know, what they go through. But I think it's hard sometimes to get younger people to talk about it. I know a lot of young people actually who never talk about it, and most people don't have never really met them or anything like that. So I know that it's hard for younger people to talk about it because it doesn't always affect them as much, or maybe they're just trying to, you know, live in their normal life without, you know, without having to deal with the stress of everything that comes with FSHD. And, you know, so I think it's just important to get young people out there to connect and to learn about it and to get involved, because, you know, they have a lot of data from older people, but like need to get younger people involved and need to hear from them. And it's also just good to have a young face to show that it can affect anyone. It's not just, you know, one age range. It's many age ranges. So
absolutely. And I think each needs to be represented. And I think for far too long, just a certain, probably my age bracket, 40 and older, has been represented well. And then there's been early onset that's not really been talked about much, not enough. And then, of course, the Gen Z, that kind of a mix, you know, a little bit. I'm sure there's early onset mixed within there because they're younger people, and that's where that is. And then a certain generation. But do you think the getting involved, the, you know, being less quiet about it, do you think that that's a Generation Z thing?
Like that they do want to get involved, or?
Yeah, that they do. Yeah. That there's more in the past generations. I can speak for my own Gen Xers that we're just angry and depressed about everything. So, you know, then there's the Gen Z generation, fast forward to that, that seem like they're like, you know, we're going to get a little bit more loud about this in a good way and tell people about this and kind of create and join together. Do you find that's kind of a generational thing?
Yeah. And I think also it's just become so much more accepted now too, that mm-hmm. people feel like they can talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, like I know when my mom was younger, it seems like there were more bullies, you know, bullying people on mm-hmm. stuff that wasn't even, you know, I mean, there shouldn't be bullies in general, but.
Right.
Like, I remember she was bullied for certain things. And, you know, when I was younger, stuff like that didn't happen as much. And people became more accepting of everything, you know, race and gender and, you know, who you love and disability. So I think it's like, it's pretty amazing how much that's changed. And I think Generation Z is like a group of people who are motivated to help, I mean, honestly, like change the world and start a revolution and be more accepting of everyone. So I think it is like a generational thing. And I think mainly it's because it's become more accepted. So people feel like they can talk about it.
Right. Right. And I, for one, say thank God to that. I think, I don't know, there's been far too much diversity and separation. And you know, like you said, I grew up in that era too of the, you know, if you were bullied, the response was, just don't say anything about it. What? I mean, that how is that healthy? Right. Now, granted, that's only my perspective. I'm sure there's a lot of different ones out there, but, I'm finding that the Generation Z is like a lot more refreshing in the regards of acceptance. And even if there's a disagreement, it still seems like, but that doesn't mean there has to be a war.
Right.
You know, it just fine. We disagree. Cool. You want to go get some coffee? You know, so it's like, it's fine. You know, it's like, you just move on, you move forward. So I love that. It's very, very refreshing. So how do the groups meet? Like, for instance, if someone wanted to get involved that happened to be listening to this and they're kind of like, wait a minute, that's kind of my generation here. Maybe I have some common ground there. I'd like to get involved.
Yeah. So, well, we're mainly running through our Instagram right now, which is Gen Z_of_FSHD. And yeah, that's where we're like posting most of our things and sharing a lot of our, you know, information. We also have a Discord that we started on there. So you can, you know, that's all linked in our bio. You can see all that. But basically, I would just encourage people to like, you know, comment on the post and like talk to other people. Maybe you see that comment or maybe that like it. You can reach out to them and say, hey, you know, seems like we're around the same age. Like we should talk. Mm-hmm. We also have meetups that we're going to be holding about once a month. You know, we're still kind of new, trying to figure out schedules and everything like that and what works. We've had two meetups already where two people presented on, you know, FSHD and like the science behind it, which was cool because they were young and they kind of explained it in terms that everyone would understand. And then our first meetup was kind of just to get to know everyone. And then we're having another meetup in a few weeks, actually, in March, which let me get the exact date for anyone who's listening and wants to join. So we're aiming for Sunday, March 20th, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. We're having a gathering online. It's going to be all like linked in that Instagram bio so they can find it, you know, Zoom link through there. And it's going to be obviously virtual, which is nice. So we can like talk to anyone, you know, around the world. You can join if no matter where you live. So it's just cool. Like we can talk to each other and there's a place that, you know, you don't have to worry about, I guess, parents, you know, hearing what you're saying things like that.
A little more comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. And like some people, you know, might not want to be as open if their parents are listening, you know, so it's just cool. The place that there's no rules, no nothing. It's just to hang out and talk. And we're going to have themes for some of the meetings, you know, maybe games or whatever. But our next one's just to meet up and hang out.
Nice. I will not crash it, but don't worry. Yeah, no. And that's why I wanted you to plug it, you know, because I think that more and more need to know that that's available out there and they can get involved if they so choose. How's the response been? It sounds like it's been positive then within the group. Has it grown well over the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think it's been growing pretty well. I mean, especially the fact that it's still pretty new. Mm-hmm. And we still haven't, you know, worked out all the kinks on like meetings and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, people like it, and we've gotten lots of messages from people. People like the idea of the Discord talking to each other and hanging out there. So yeah, I mean, I think it's doing really well. And I try to get on there and share personal, maybe stories or just videos on the Instagram story so that people can like relate and not just have like graphics, you know. And, yeah, you know, we're trying to be more personal and just so people can like meet us and understand, you know, we're going through the same thing as everyone else. It's not like, you know, our lives are much different. You know, we have a lot of the same struggles, same challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. You went to the Volunteer Leadership Summit. Is that right? You were involved with it. Did you tap in virtually or did you go?
Yeah, I was there in person. Sorry if my camera's blurry. I'm not sure why.
Okay. Yeah. No.
I was there in person. It was really awesome, you know, that wasn't my first time meeting other people with FSHD, but it was some people there's first time meeting others with FSHD. So it's cool to, you know, to hear that from some people, and they're like, oh, this is my first time ever meeting someone. And, you know, that's such a great experience to meet someone there for the first time. Because it's just something you're not used to seeing too. It's like someone else like walking the same way you are or doing the same mannerisms. Like we all have the same mannerisms with our arms, and yes, it's just funny to see that. but yeah, that was like, it's just a cool weekend to learn a lot about FSHD and FSHD society and, you know, meet other people and just to collaborate. And it's cool. It's a really great time.
Do you find, I was there one time in person. I think it might've been one of the first ones or the first one. I don't know how many there's been. And I've kind of clicked in a couple times virtually since, because I don't necessarily have a chapter. So I always am like, well, I'll kind of listen in. But I found then that the first time I went, it felt like I was getting hit with like a fire hose of information. I mean, it was okay. I sorted it out, but it was pretty overwhelming. Was that a feeling for you, or is it just for old people like myself?
Well, you know, I think this year, actually, they changed it a lot. Like in the past, it was a lot of information, and it was like kind of intimidating. It was a lot about the walk, and this year it was more just like uplifting, and just the stuff that we talked about was just so cool to see and gave a lot of people hope and made people motivated to get more involved. Like, you know, I'm actually signing up for the MOVE study, which is a big study that, you know, we want to get people involved in. You know, because of that meeting, it just motivated me to like get more involved, and because it's important for us to be a part of research in order to find a treatment or a cure.
That is great. You're very good at segues. Yeah, because that's where we're going to go next was the MOVE study. So that's kind of maybe where you got motivated to do it. Did you hear about the MOVE study prior to the leadership summit?
I did hear about it, but I guess I didn't really fully know too much about it. Mm-hmm. But now I know how important it is, you know, for people to join the MOVE study, because it tracks your progress over a certain amount of time with FSHD, and it can really help research, because obviously, you know, figuring out our progress is important in order to, you know, figure out how FSHD affects you and how, you know, they can cater treatments towards that. So yeah, I mean, I didn't know much about it, but now I know a lot more about it, and I'm excited for, you know, the outcome of it and, you know, what they're going to learn from it.
How hard was it for you to get involved? And I'm speaking, I guess, from the person that's maybe was in the same situation you were before. You kind of knew about it, but you didn't really know what to do, if you wanted to get involved, or how to get yourself there, or what you had to do. So what's kind of been your involvement thus far, and how did you get into it? What was the pathway?
So it was really easy. I don't know where I was the starting point, but if you, you just have to basically email the person in charge of each location, like research location. So the closest to me is Rochester. And, you know, there's a whole map of, you know, if you look up the MOVE study, FCHD Society, you know, you can find it. And there's a whole map of where different locations are around the country, you know, where they do the study. So like I said, the closest to me is Rochester, New York. So I basically just emailed the person in charge that was listed as the email on there. And I said I wanted to join the study. And it was so easy. They were just like, okay, well, you know, this is what we need from you. And this is the date. And so it was really simple, honestly.
So is there go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I think it's also important to be like clinical trial ready. Like everyone should be clinical trial ready. So, you know, if you go to the FCHD Society's website and, you know, there's information on clinical trials on there, and you can figure out how to become clinical trial ready. It's really just, you got to register through their site. There's only like a few steps, and it's pretty easy to do. You just got to fill out some forms, and it's important to be clinical trial ready for stuff like this. But also, if there's a treatment, you know, and they're like recruiting people for it, if you're not ready for it, you know, you might not be able to get in. That actually happened to me a few years ago for the fulcrum trial. I tried to get in, and because I didn't have it, you know, I wasn't ready. I actually didn't have a clinical diagnosis at that point. Because of that, it was all my, you know, my doing, not like the FCHD Society, but I just didn't get it in time and I wasn't able to join. So it's important to be able to be ready to join at any time, you know, and we obviously want to be a part of treatments if we can.
Right. No, that makes total sense. I probably wouldn't have known that either. I mean, and within my diagnosis, there was the DNA test and the whole thing. He encouraged it. He thought it was, and then, oh, we should get a DNA test, the whole thing. So it was a clinical diagnosis, I suppose. But you're right. Some maybe haven't gone through those steps. So learn how to do that. And then as you were talking about it, it is relatively easy to find your path through the FSHD Society website. You go to the homepage and then rest your, you know, mouse or whatever on get involved. And then there's a little drop down for clinical trials and away you go. So it is easy that way, and then get yourself ready. So has there been anything painful that you had to go through though for a MOVE study?
Well, I haven't actually done it yet. I just signed up for it. Okay. I'm going actually at the same time as Kristen, who's the other woman in the FCHD New England. We're going together. So we're going in June. So, but I don't believe there's painful aspect of it.
I'm just always, you know, thinking as the listener, there's somebody out there thinking, well, okay, I'm going to be a start of a study. What are they going to do to me? You know? Right. Yeah.
You know, I know it's mostly about tracking your movement and, you know, different abilities in your arms and legs. So it's just, they want to track your progress, you know, over and how FCHD affects you over a certain amount of time.
I heard that there's quite a demand too for younger participants. Have you heard the same within that MOVE study?
Yeah. I mean, it's important to get, it's very important to have younger people involved right now because it's important to get that data. And, you know, it's just, especially for people, you know, with early onset too, that's important to get that information in there because they don't have a lot of that and they don't have a lot of data on younger people. So it's definitely super important right now for younger people to get involved. I mean, if you want to help find a treatment or a cure, then like definitely get involved and be a part of it because we're getting close. Like it's actually happening, which is crazy, but it's happening.
How does that feel for yourself from your vantage point that you've been involved for a while now? You've kind of seen this from the time you started to where you are now. I'm not sure how many number of years that is. You could probably answer that obviously better than I could. But over that time, what have you noticed with growth and community involvement and all those things?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it all the time. It's so crazy how much things have changed, you know, since I first found out I had FSHD. I remember you know, that was back in what, like 2004 or 2005. Okay. Yeah. I really didn't know. Well, first of all, I had never met anyone outside of my family. I was looking it up online, didn't really see a whole lot about it. You know, there weren't really any, like, there wasn't really much research going on at the time. You know, they were just discovering things that, you know, they've known now for years, right, you know, around the time I was getting diagnosed. So the research has changed, like, drastically in the last, you know, even 5 years. I mean, there's so many, multiple companies working on treatments or cures. There's, you know, studies that are not just about treatments. They're just about helping with, you know, like the MOVE study progression. And I think it's been crazy how much progress we've made and how much of a difference it's made, like it's been. Like now there's actually fundraising events, the walk and roll. That wasn't really a thing when I was first diagnosed. I wanted to get involved, I remember. And I was like, there's no way for me to do anything. Like, what am I supposed to do? And now we have chapters, we have fundraising events. So it's just so cool that to see it all and to meet all these people and see how excited people are and motivated.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely inspirational. Without question. I haven't been involved with it as long as you have been, and seeing it from, you know, earlier years when things were just kind of starting to roll. So I can only imagine from your vantage point how fast things have kind of, maybe it hasn't felt fast, but definitely in the window, it's probably sped up quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say just in the last few years, it's like crazy how much has changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were at the volunteers summit, and was it the first, was it 2018 when the first actual like walk and roll, you know, I know there was Colorado and, that location in the past, but like officially like 2018, I think it was when it like really started. The fundraising events actually started in the walk and roll. So it's crazy. That's only a few years ago, you know, like that we actually have a fundraising event that's public that everybody knows about. So yeah.
Wow. I don't think I even realized it was that young of an event as well. That's great. And then dealing with the pandemic issue, I don't know how it's affected your walk and roll event when you're trying to coordinate and put it together. Did it seem to kind of slow you down within that year, or did it seem to just carry its momentum through regardless?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, you know, 2021, obviously 2020, it affected it a lot because it was all virtual. 2021, we didn't even think we were going to do one in person until like weeks before. They were like, can we do one in person? And we're like, it's only a few weeks away. So luckily we found a location and we got it all together, which is pretty amazing. And yeah, so it was pretty last minute, but it turned out to be an amazing event. And so I think it definitely was a little hard to get people involved and to get people out there, because people didn't always feel safe either, you know, coming to events. So it's definitely stopped a little for us, but you know, for the FSHD Society in general and the money that we've raised, it's, you know, it's not slowing down. We've raised so much money, more than we ever have in the last year. So, you know, it keeps going up. You know, we keep raising more money every year. So that's just gonna help with research in the long run and with community engagement and everything like that.
Now on the personal side, you've had big news over the last, I'm not sure when this happened, so I'm gonna let you say that. You're engaged now, right?
Yeah. It happened in September.
Awesome. In September. Okay. So how are the wedding plans going?
Good. Yeah. I mean, it's, a, you know, 2023, summer of 2023. So we still got time. Okay. But, you know, like I had talked to some people about, you know, wedding planning with FSHD, and it definitely affects, you know, some parts of it. Like, for instance, the thing I always think about and think I've thought about for a long time, actually, you know, in my life is like a wedding dress, for example. Like, I have a very arched back, and I'm sure I know a lot of other people with FSHD do as well. And, you know, I walk differently, and, I did get surgery for my scapular bones so they don't stick out right now, but there's just, you know, a lot of insecurities with FSHD. I know a lot of people have, you know, I'm not going to hide that a lot of people have insecurities with it and with their body. So it's hard to think about like, oh, like what kind of wedding dress am I going to want that's I'm going to actually like on me, because these are pictures I'm going to have for the rest of my life. You know, I want to feel good in it. I want to look good. And I'm sure a lot of other women feel the same way. It's, you know, it's stressful. It may sound minimal to some, but stressful.
Yeah.
And then like the venue, you know, like everything has to be handicapped accessible. You know, I also have family members, like I said, with FSHD. So, yep. And me, everything has to be accessible. So it's hard to find stuff like that. You know, this world isn't really made for people with disabilities, unfortunately. So, you know, it can make it a little difficult, but it's possible, obviously. You know, I've already found a venue. I found places where we can have things. So it's, you know, people shouldn't lose hope on that, but it can be stressful.
Yeah, it adds a definite extra or many extra layers of difficulty. I can't imagine trying to, you got to really think like way ahead, don't you? Like, okay, if this venue does this for us, okay, how are people getting in? What's the restroom access, accessibility, all that kind of stuff. How are we going to serve the food and all that kind of stuff? So yeah, it's, you definitely have to have probably a little bit more of a, you know, analytical, you'll break it down to the every detail you possibly can and make sure it is accessible for all and still has that wedding look or whatever you're going for. How has the wedding dress shopping been going? Have you gotten to that point then?
I haven't really gotten to that point yet. You know, I've done some online looking, and it stresses me out because I'm like, I don't like any of these dresses. I don't think any of them will look good.
Yeah.
But you know, it's my opinion too. It's like, I'm sure some other people would be like, oh, that would look great, but
yeah,
obviously everyone has their own opinions on what they think looks good. So yeah, I mean, it's a little stressful, but I'm excited for when it happens, because I'm sure, you know, sometimes you think something's not gonna look good and then it does.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for that part. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm excited.
it'll come.
Yeah.
How about your fiance then? How is he doing with all the planning and the excitement around it?
Yeah, good. I mean, he's excited, obviously, and family's excited. You know, I'm definitely taking the lead on a little bit of that. And I like the creative part of it all and figure out, you know, what everything's going to look like and, you know, stuff like that. But we chose a place that we both, you know, grew up going to and enjoy.
That's cool.
So, yeah, but it's interesting that, you know, what the place, the town that we're going to get married in, you know, it's an older town. So it just sucks that in older towns, you know, things get grandfathered in and, you know, they don't have to build an elevator. They don't have to add a ramp. It sucks that, you know, that's the way it has to be to preserve like historical value or whatever it is. You know, I wish we could change that, but.
Maybe
someday. Yeah. I mean,
someday, right?
Yeah, I live in Boston, which is like the oldest city, and obviously we have a lot of inaccessibility here. So,
yes, they're right. The older the building, the more difficult it is. I knew two guys that tried to do some backpacking and do this massive trek through Spain, and in order for them to get there, obviously you have to travel there and then stay at places and then throughout. And it was nearly impossible for them because he had a huge wheelchair that he had to use to go through this hike and stuff. To bring that, it was just a big thing, right? So it is not accessible world, as in, you know, from way back, right? The older the things are, the more difficult it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Austin. I go to Austin a lot for work, Austin, Texas. And that's since there's a lot of new parts. Like, there's so many accessible parts to that city, which is great.
Yeah.
It's just cool to see other.
So with the big wedding plans coming, very exciting, you know, it's been a while since I can, you know, tap back into my memory banks, but yeah, it is exciting. It's a lot of fun day. It's a great fun day. How about then, you know, after, you know, this is something that I kind of wanted to touch on based on, you know, building a family, creating a family. You know, there are some people that are in your similar situation, possibly, that maybe they just got married, or maybe they're thinking about, you know, getting engaged, and then comes, do you have kids? If someone has FSHD, you know, those kind of decisions. Is that something that has crossed your mind during this process?
Oh yeah, definitely crossed mine a lot. you know, I want to have kids in the next few years. And it's definitely something I have to prepare for already. You know, not everyone, someone without a disability probably, you know, wouldn't have to, but, and then, you know, it's everyone's own choice, but, you know, I don't want to pass on FSHD if I can prevent it. So, you know, I'm hoping to go the route of like IVF with PGD, where they can genetic test and remove the gene. So I'm hoping that's, you know, a possibility, and then possibly like a surrogate, because I don't know if I can carry a child as well. So it definitely, that's probably one of the most complicated things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I have to think about. And I already have, we have to start, you know, already, because we've got to meet with the gene counselor and, you know, go through all that process to make sure we have all the right doctors and everything. So it's definitely probably one of the most stressful things to think about a lot of times. But, you know, it's possible. I've talked to people with FSHD who have had kids successfully through IVF, the PGD, and they don't have, you know, the kids or their offspring, like, don't have FSHD or the gene. So it's possible, you know.
It is possible, yeah.
And obviously, you know, with research, I mean, you know, there's a chance I wouldn't even have to do this, because you know, there could be a cure or a treatment that's going to prevent it anyway. So,
right. It'll be in the rearview mirror anyway. It'll be a non-issue.
That's right. Like, I mean,
kind of the goal.
That
would be amazing. And it is extremely possible, based on all the things you've just talked about throughout this conversation, about the growth of the FSHD society, the fundraising, everything has just grown so fast over the last, you know, several years, in particular with the walk and rolls and all those things that have just kind of pushed us forward in the positive direction, where when people are trying to make that decision about, you know, having kids and what's the process, how do we prepare, maybe that'll be a little less stressful at some point, because things will kind of take care of itself, and as a society we can kind of give a push to this disease and get the hell out of the way, so people can just live the life that they want, you know, a little easier. So
I know, it's like, it sucks, because I'm right at, so I'm like 28, and you know, it's not like I have to have kids at a certain time, but I want to have kids, you know, in a few years. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I was just like 5 years younger, you know, you could see what, you know, maybe there'd be a cure by that time and I wouldn't have to go do all this. But it's kind of like a race against the clock. Like, what do you want to do, you know? Do you want to, you know, I don't know.
Wait it out. Yeah. You're going to wait it out, or you just kind of move forward that you have something to deal with, that kind of a worst case scenario kind of a mindset to some degree, even though it does add a lot more stress to an already what can be a stressful situation in other circumstances, you know? So I give you guys credit though for thinking it out loud already with each other and already kind of walking the path and deciding, hey, okay, if we do this, this is what we're going to do. I think that's what you have to be. You have to be proactive, and that helps you adapt accordingly as you go. And in my opinion, FSHD people are massively master adapters. I mean, can adapt to multiple changing situations on the fly. I think it's incredible to see it happen.
Yeah, so I agree.
Going forward with the Gen Z group, more walk and roll, obviously work to be done, wedding to plan. You have to work, and all these great things still happening in your life. I'm sure you're extremely busy, but what do you see in the future, you know, in regards to yourself, where the chapter is going to grow, walk and roll event, maybe even a little bit of the Gen Z, where do you see that going? Kind of wrap it up for us in like a little package of what do you see for the future?
Yeah, I mean, with our New England chapter, I'm hoping to raise a lot more money this year. I want to actually, you know, talk to Heloise a bit in Southwest Florida, and she told me what, you know, her secret was to raising all that money. And, you know, I'm hoping to, you know, get more people involved, or even the press involved, try to get it out there more. So I'm definitely trying to raise more money this year. I'm excited about that. And with Gen Z, you know, I just want to grow the community. We want to have more meetups and meet more people, and, you know, even maybe tell people's stories, you know, maybe we talked about, you know, so many fun and creative ideas to get people more involved. So I think people are going to like where it goes, and I hope people can get involved and, you know, reach out to us. And you know, people can reach out to the admins also. You don't have to just talk to Gen Z if you want to reach out to someone specifically. you know, our information's on one of the first few posts. So, you know, people can reach out and we're always open for questions. You know, people can answer questions or we'll answer your questions. But yeah, I think I'm just excited to see it all grow and to see where everything takes us. Mm-hmm. And excited to get involved in the news.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear more about that too. It's kind of now kind of made me decide, you know, make sure my ducks are in a row when it comes to participating in things. I think you lit a fire under me on that one to make sure that's all set to go and to kind of dive a little deeper into the MOVE study for sure. And kind of talk about that more as we have guests on, because the more involvement in that, the better, especially with the need for more younger participants. I think that has to be done just to help us all. So yeah, I'm glad that you shared and talked about that for sure. Any final thought you want to give before we say goodbye?
I think I really said it all, honestly, that I was thinking.
That's right. Well put. Well, thanks, Lexi, for joining us, spending some time with us, catching us up. Congratulations on your engagement and to a successful walk and roll last year. We look forward to seeing what you're going to do in that regards this next year. So thank you very much for being here.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. That is Lexi Pappas. She is a walk and roll leader. She works out of that New England chapter and does an amazing job being an advocate for our group. 20 years old, been a part of the group for a long time. Family has been stricken with this disease as well. So it's in the family. So it's a family fight. And really happy that she could spend some time with us, get us caught up what's going on and kind of motivate us to move forward too. So let's take a quick break. On the other side of it, we'll talk a little more. This is FSHD Society Radio Show. Today's podcast is sponsored by PerkinElmer Genomics, a market leader in biochemical and genomic testing solutions. PerkinElmer Genomics understands that obtaining a confirmed genetic diagnosis for FSHD can be difficult and frustrating experience for both patients and their families. That's why their laboratory prides itself on launching new and innovative technologies to help families find answers that they are looking for. Just over a year ago, PerkinElmer Genomics introduced the first new diagnostic approach to FSHD type 1 genetic testing in nearly three decades. This testing has drastically decreased the time to diagnose while increasing accessibility to patients. Knowing the underlying cause of FSHD can have important implications for the entire family, including help with future medical management decisions. Speak with your provider today and learn more about how you can get testing. Visit PerkinElmerGenomics.com to find out more about available testing options for FSHD and other related neuromuscular disorders that may help you and your family today. That's PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here, spending some time with us. We had a great conversation with Lexi Pappas. As she talked a lot about walk and roll, the MOVE study, the Gen Z group. Please visit that. Gen Z_of_FSHD is the Instagram. In the early pages, she said, of that early post, of that, is some information to contact the admins directly. So that's all there for you there. And then the MOVE study, you know, that is a really big push right now to get more and more involved. So how can you do that? If you go to fshdsociety.org, which we hope you can do, and jump over to the Get Involved button and then slide on down to Clinical Trials, I think that's a good spot to start. And then it was an easy process, she said, of just emailing somebody near her that was doing the MOVE study for her. It was Rochester. So if there's some way that you want to get involved and you believe you can, I think that's a great thing to do, especially if you're a younger person, Gen Z, that generation, and even younger, I would imagine. But look into it. Get involved in it. It really needs to be done. It's kind of lit, like I said, lit a fire under me to kind of make sure I'm all set to go if I want to participate in any clinical trials, etc. So what I got out of the interview, though, was definitely that this generation that Lexi represents, along with so many others, is one that is, I think, just starting to push more of a positive push forward, less hate, more acceptance that kind of involves with disability and race and gender and sexual orientation, all of it, right? Why are we judging? Why is it all full of hate, the bullying, all these things I think are stopping within that generation. And I give them a lot of credit. That's a tough road. Someone has to stop it. And I think that is within that generation. I think that is happening. And it's a prime example of that, of what's happening within the FSHD society, where that group is meeting, collaborating to kind of carry the torch forward, which has been kind of the theme here for our leadership summit that happened in January. Torchbearers, you know, if you want to be one of those people that donate as a torchbearer, like, that means that something that's donating constant, more than a one-time donation, I believe. So, you know, carry that torch. And I think that's kind of what that generation is definitely doing. So what we'll do is take a final break here. We want to hear from our last sponsor, which is Fulcrum. We thank them. We also thank Perkin Elmer and Optum. And then we'll finish up talking about a little bit of what's happening in June. The month of June got some exciting events coming. Want to make sure we talk about that before we close up shop. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Today's FSHD Society Radio Show is sponsored by Fulcrum Therapeutics. Fulcrum is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, advancing new medicines that target the root cause of genetically defined rare diseases such as FSHD and sickle cell disease. Fulcrum's approach to drug discovery combines insights from patients with rare diseases with the most advanced tools to identify and develop therapeutics that will target the root cause. For several years, Fulcrum has been honored to work with the FSHD community in efforts to build awareness of the impact of FSHD on individuals and families. Fulcrum works in partnership with leaders from the patient advocacy and medical communities to highlight the impact of rare diseases and support continued research. You can connect with Fulcrum on LinkedIn and follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FulcrumTX. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. Special thank you to Lexi Pappas for joining us. As we talked a lot about Gen Z, we talked a lot about what's going on with the walk-in rules, the growth of the FSHD Society, the fundraising events, and all that has been going on. And she's really engaged and even talked a little bit about that, the frustration sometimes or the anxiety that can come along with planning the event to make sure it's accommodating for all her guests, as she has FSHD family members that have it as well as herself. And that can be difficult, especially in her area of the country where there's a lot of old architecture that's not quite adaptable to people that need it to be. And it'd be great to start working on change in that regard too. No doubt we've had great guests, and Lexi's definitely one of them for sure. And we've talked to her many times. She's always inspirational, sending us in the right direction. And she represents that Gen Z, and she represents it very well. So take a look at all those things that she was plugging and talking about. Gen Z_of_FSHD on Instagram. Follow that group. They're having a meetup coming in March. I think it was somewhere around the 20th. So if you kind of dive into that group now, it might be a part of that. That's exciting to hear. Be a part of the MOVE study. She said, get prepared. Get yourself prepared to be able to do clinical trials. You need maybe a clinical diagnosis and other things, boxes checked off. And you have all those things lined up so you can participate. So she encouraged you to do that as well. So a lot of great information that she gave to us. Last bit of information I want to give you guys, the listener watching us as well. Thank you for doing that on Facebook and YouTube is take a look at the events going on in June, right? We have the 29th Annual International Research Congress. That's happening June 16th to the 17th. That's a big event going on. Take a look at what's going on there. Then we have the 2022 FSHD Connect, June 18th to the 19th. And that kind of piggybacks in what we know of June 20th, which is World FSHD Day. So a lot going on. That's all happening in Orlando. I plan on being there. So if you want to meet me or hang out and chat, sounds great. Let's do that. So I plan on making my way from Wisconsin down to Florida, spending a little time down there with the group and everything that's going on, and broadcasting some of those events. So if you can't make it, we're going to try to get you tied into it. More to come in that regard, but I always want to talk about that and plug those big events coming. And then of course, moving forward, there's in September, we have the Walk and Roll, which Optum is a part of the sponsorship on that. So I wanted to plug them as well. Visit optum.com. They create a healthier world with connections, and they're connecting one person at a time. At Optum, all your health needs all in one place, changing healthcare. Visit optum.com. We thank them for their sponsorship and participation as well. So we close up shop now. Thank you all for joining us, being here on another great episode. More in store as we work our way through episode to episode. Don't forget, we also have those awesome interviews, short version interviews called the Hot Sheet. And we want you, or hot off the press, the hot sheet, I guess, right? Hot off the press? Yeah, hot off the press. Yeah, check out those episodes. If you need to catch up on some, anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find ours. It's on Spotify and so many other platforms. So go ahead and just search FSHD Society Radio Show to do that and listen along. Share it with your friends. We're also on YouTube. These shows, of course, are pre-recorded, but then broadcasted live on the correct days of the month. And they kind of premiere there, but all the past episodes are available on demand for you to watch and listen to where you find podcasts. Reach out to me, please. I'd love to hear from you as a community. FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org is my email. Thanks for being here. Thanks again to Lexi Pappas, our guest, and all our sponsors. Take care, and you've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.